The first item is that of a briefing on the tertiary capitalization and the bus rapid transit system, and the consideration and adoption of the minutes of the meeting that was held on the 1st of July 2009, and then the consideration of the program and adoption of the program of the second term of the portfolio committee. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone present. We have on one side the Department of Transport, represented by the DG, and the director. On the other hand, we have the taxi industry. And then on the third leg, we have the civil society. Part of them are in Johannesburg, and we are going to be communicating with them through the video conference. And some representatives of the civil society are here in the meeting with us because they did not need to travel very far. The representatives from the Western Cape, we are trying to save the taxpayers' money by utilizing the video conference facility. So we would first start by looking at the agenda and adopt the agenda of the meeting. The mover for the adoption under the agenda is therefore adopted. Can we then, before we go into the briefing, can we start by introducing ourselves so that we will get to know who is in the meeting representing which instruction? I'm the chairperson of the portfolio committee on transport, and my name is Bruce Ben.
My name is Manuel Fraser, so I'm a member of the portfolio committee.
My name is Nonguise Longet, member of the committee.
Member of the portfolio committee.
I'm Jesu Bo, member of the portfolio committee.
My name is Chris Adams of Billing Sanko.
My name is Adam Kupona of Sanko.
Tutu Defe Santako.
I'm Trevor AJ Santako.
Philip Taibos from Sanko.
Steve Amlaeta from Sanko.
Vernon Bullitt Santako.
Mata M. NTA.
Buisa Mente, NTA.
Tom Greek from Business Support.
decisions for how we continue.
I'm Kanye Slap from Parliamentary Communication Service.
Speak on this committee of affairs. Honourable Police, members of the public. Lugoyo Sasha, ANC Research on Transport.
Abdallah Driscoll from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Raja Azakani, Media 24.
Wendell Littlefoot,
Stu Graham, South. Anon Lewis, Cape Town. Jodie Hendricks, 7
8. Andre Adami, City Radio.
I'm a driver, Mr. Wason.
We also have people in South End that are part of this meeting, and we would request them to introduce themselves.
My name is Stephen Sangweni, President of the African Commuters Organization, SACO. I'm here with our delegation from SACO. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we know who is in this meeting. May I take this opportunity to give to the DG to give us an introduction that would enable us to understand whether they understood the brief of what we invited them to do with us today.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, honorable members of the portfolio committee responsible for transport, the members of the leadership of SANTACO that is present with us here today, and today, SACO, who are joining us from Gauteng, and SANCO members who are here as well with us today. Honourable Chairperson, we are here responding to a request by the portfolio committee to come and make a presentation on the fast rapid transit system. Our understanding was that the purpose of the meeting, as mandated by the portfolio committee, would be to provide progress and update on the meeting between government, tax industry innovation to BRT, and on the tax recapitalization program.
That is correct. And also, I would make an amendment that in the program, we would defer the tax recapitalization and invite you at a later stage to brief you on that. So we, on our minutes, we are going to record that we are deferring that item because it is a briefing on its own. It would take us very, very long if we were to deal with the two items. So what we are going to be focusing on today is BBRT.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, if I may start with the presentation, the background to the BRT presentation, I'll do so by way of introduction just to give you some of the strategic perceptions, and I'll ask my colleague, Ms. Kibi Manana, to proceed with the balance of the presentation, which will then deal with the detail of the progress with respect to the matters related to BRT. But I think it's important for us to capture specifically where the strategic decisions in relation to this particular item of BRT are derived. Honorable members will recall that this matter has been discussed, particularly in the 2008 year and previous years, but more pointedly in the 2008 year, which culminated in the President of South Africa, President Zuma, in the State of the Nation address and the Minister of Transport in the budget vote, specifically announcing the need for a meeting to be held between government and the taxi industry on the 11th of June 2009. This meeting was envisaged to kickstart a whole series of engagements with the stakeholders affected by a BRT system, particularly the taxi industry, and how they would benefit from this particular initiative. In the same budget vote speech, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Transport highlighted the need also to engage other stakeholders, such as civil society, and emphasized that government was accountable to both business and civil society and all of the sectors that are responsible or affected by this particular system. The June 11 meeting was between government and the taxi industry, as the issues had been put on the table by the two parties, recognizing though the need to expand the consultation process to others. And that meeting had government representation at national, at provincial, and at local level, and the taxi industry was represented by about 1,200 delegates, both from national, provincial, and local levels as well. At that meeting, government proposed the establishment of the National Joint Working Group, and this was endorsed as a resolution of the meeting and as a mechanism to allow for negotiations and deliberations and consultations with respect to matters relating to the fast rapid transit system. The National Joint Working Group held its first meeting on the 30th of July, which was after a process of selecting representation to that joint working group by the government and the taxi sector. And basically the process that would unfold in there is a process that would enable the negotiations to go further. In response also to the need identified to consult civil society, government has already consulted with organized labor at a national level. However, we still are to deal with broader consultation at the local level and consultations with the users and passengers with through national structures of SANCO and SACO and others are still to follow. The timelines that are suggested by this particular process by government include that end of July deadline for the nomination of government and taxi industry representatives onto the Joint National Working Group. In August, and that has actually happened, in August we would see the work beginning in relation to the engagement of civil society and other sectors that are affected by BRT, and we have an obligation to present the first interim report to the minister and the president by the end of August, which would give us an indication of how far we have gone in at least dealing with the matters of the National Joint Working Group. The importance of this particular process is that we have really committed as government to work with the taxi industry on an ongoing basis to address the concerns that relate to the BRT, but also other matters, including the taxi recap program, the National Land Transport Act, and particularly the challenge of operating licenses, particularly the process of conversion of permits to operation licenses. Without Chairperson dealing with the details, but it's important as a context for the BRT discussion, we would like to indicate that some progress had been made in this area, particularly to address some of the challenges in the taxi recap environment which affect the deliberations on the BRT, and that in February of 2009, the previous administration and cabinet approved the following. The first was the regulatory framework for the taxi industry in consultation with various stakeholders, and that was supposed to be issued to the taxi industry for consultative process. The TRP policy, which is basically the basis upon which the taxi recap program is based, and that was also going to be further engaged. The TRP funding strategy, which includes the issues around the revision of the scrapping allowance, so that the scrapping allowance is allowed to be CPI linked, and that increase, in fact, by definition from the 1st of April, increased the scrapping allowance from 50,000 rand to 54,000 rand, and that CPIX increase would be applied every 1st of April from starting in 2009. The outstanding matter with respect to the funding strategy is the subsidy mechanism, which is currently being discussed with the National Treasury in order to be finalized, possibly for implementation on the 1st of April 2010. The various elements of that are being currently discussed as part of the budget cycle MTF process. Similarly, the approval of the first phase of the lifting of the moratorium, which includes specifically the category referred to as semi-legal. And semi-legal in this particular case, Chairperson, referred to people who have interacted with operating license boards, have engaged, have applied, but do not carry operating licenses in their hands. And that being currently under implementation by the operating license board. And then finally, approved was a turnaround strategy for operating license boards to enable efficiencies, greater effectiveness at the level of operating licenses in order to enable both the taxi recap program and other programs to move with speed. The additional point to make, Chairperson, is that there are also very important objectives of the National Land Transport Act, which aim to further the process of transformation and restructuring of the public transport system and to enhance the initiatives that we've listed, which indicate improvements, significant improvements and elements that are necessary for a successful operation of a public transport system, which we spoke about just now. But also, more importantly, to address the concerns that are raised by the industry, the issues such as the lifespan of operating licenses and how this should be addressed, and how we deal specifically with the perception that shorter-term licenses are issued, which is found in the current version of the National Land Transport Act. What we've agreed to is to review that and rephrase that, and Chairperson would probably be approaching the Portfolio Committee with amendments to the National Land Transport Act specifically to deal with matters such as the terms for operating licenses, a lifespan of operating licenses, and not give an impression that they are short-term, but introduce an important element of performance and performance criteria against which the renewal of operating licenses would be guaranteed. The Act also would look at particular measures of introducing new institutional arrangements, particularly across the spheres of government, and would introduce the need for establishment of the National Public Transport Regulator, which is also coming out of the Act and its implementation. And that would deal largely with all the entire public transport arena and provide a particular framework for managing the operations of public transport. We continue as a department to face implementation challenges due to lack of human and financial resources, but it's important to also indicate that the government programs are taking off at a particular speed, somewhat constrained by that lack of capacity in certain instances. It's important for the committee to note that we had, as we've indicated previously, an approved organizational establishment from expanding the department from 3 branches to 9 branches. And that becomes an important element because part of what is a constraint is that the progressive realization of those 9 branches is subject to resource allocation. And it is important to note that to date, only about 50% of the funding of that full establishment of 9 branches has been allocated by National Treasury to us for those additional posts. We think this is an important point to make because critical to the success of the public transport strategy is our ability to integrate public transport to other transport modes and achieve the full effectiveness of the operations of public transport in the context of other transport modes. If you look at the example, for instance, that we utilize, is to look at the efficiencies that can be achieved if we develop proper strategies around public transport but linked very clearly to all our airports. And that becomes an important consideration. I think currently our airports do not have the required public transport facilities to enable movement of people, and yet we all know that in the recent years we've seen a significant growth in what is called affordable airlines, which affordable airlines transport now a new category of people in airports, which traditionally was not the case. Traditionally, airports serviced high income levels and would provide facilities, therefore, private transport to high income groups. With the growth of affordable airlines, by definition, the integration of aviation to public transport becomes just necessary in order to facilitate movement. And that becomes a critically important area, without which I think the efficiencies of public transport or the maximization of the market for public transport operators is limited and cannot be achieved. We raise this matter also, Chairperson, because we have been to this portfolio committee and indicated that this was a particular constraint and we needed this particular matter addressed quite speedily. It has a bearing also on our MTEF process now, which is going on at this particular point with National Treasury, and the extent to which we are allocated the balance of the full balance of the 50%, which will then enable us to achieve those economies of scale that can be derived for a fully fledged, fully efficient integration system within which public transport becomes a critical player. Honorable Chairperson, I thought I would make those as just introductory remarks and then ask Ms. Manana, who is the Chief Director responsible for public transport strategy in the department, to take us through the progress and the balance of the presentation in relation to the bus rapid transit system. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Over to Ms. Manana.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all the honourable members and everybody else. My task is just to provide a progress update on the bus rapid transit system. Just in terms of laying the context, I should indicate that we believe that citizens and users are actually looking to us as governments and the public transport industry to provide changes that improve their daily lives. And we believe that this is possible despite the current challenges that we have now for all these critical parties, basically government, public users, and the industry, to work together to achieve a public transport transformation strategy. Currently, our public transport is far from ideal. We still have a number of challenges, and we also are in desperate need for significant improvement.
And also, as you look at the slide, it basically speaks to also indicate that currently within our city, we do not have public transport facilities in place. MLT or non-motorized transport still not a consideration when we plan and we actually design our public transport system. Congestion is still a serious problem. What happens now is people, when they get employed, young graduates, the first thing that they think about is to buy a car, and that just adds to the current challenge that we have around congestion. The department in 2003 conducted a national household level survey, and out of that, key findings that we observed from that were the following. Firstly, it basically indicated that public transport and walking are the lifeline mode for the majority of South Africans, and that public transport and walking are used by over 70 to 90% of all households, and that currently, and at the time when they did the survey, public transport users were very unhappy with a number of services. For example, with taxi users, they felt that facilities at ranks were not there or they were in a bad state. Roadworthiness of taxis was mentioned as a concern. With regard to train, overcrowding in our trains was mentioned as an issue. Security within our trains also was mentioned as an issue. And for buses as well, the lack of shelters or bus stations were also indicated. And also just the focus on commuters and not passengers in general. That you, what you're finding is that within, after morning peak, there aren't any frequent services offered. And I think having laid that context, I should say that as government, we believe that we need to really improve the public transport system. And we need to retain the current users that we have and also attract the car users that I have indicated, as well as new users. And we are also firm on making sure that we've got affordable mobility for all and also reducing congestion. To translate that, we then developed a public transport strategy and action plan, which was approved in March 2007 by Cabinet. And basically, the strategy calls for what we call integrated rapid public transport networks in up to 12 major cities and 6 rural districts by 2014. And the strategy also proposed a phased approach of implementation. It proposed those 3 phases that are outlined. And also just to indicate that within the strategy, we then introduced the concept of an integrated network. And we see BRTs as well as rail corridors as critical components of our public transport system or of this integrated public transport network. This slide just speaks to indicate the 12 cities that we are targeting for implementing the strategy. You will see from that we've got the big 6 metropolitan cities, as well as the other small cities. And the next slide just indicates the 6 rural districts that we are also targeting and the different provinces that they are located in. Now, in trying to move forward, I think it's important that we just indicate that we chose to implement the RT systems because we feel that they can be planned and built within a 24-month period, basically quicker than rail, because rail systems would require over 5 years in total development time. And it is felt that with the challenges that we had in transforming public transport system, this would be the most ideal solution. This slide seeks to just indicate that when we talk about an integrated public transport network that is comprised of different modes, you would have rail playing a role, and then also you would also have the bus rapid transit system, as well as feeder services that would be provided by other modes, either taxis, but also recognizing that all of these form part of a network, an integrated network, and that they are not competing against each other, but that they are working together to make sure that we move our passengers. If you look at the slide, it just tries to indicate two honorable members what the BRT element of the integrated public transit system would be. And so I'll not go into much detail in explaining that. Okay. And also this one just seeks to indicate the type of some of the design features that would form part of this improved public transport system. And also that we would want to see system professionalism and cleanliness within the public transport system. We believe that there are a number of benefits that would result in us implementing bus rapid transit systems, and these really are centered around or focused around three areas that we would see a user-friendly experience being experienced by our users, and that there would be a frequent and guaranteed service as well as safe and secure services. Now, we could easily translate some of those benefits into the three critical parties at play. And these are our users and citizens, as well as operators and workers. And basically, this slide tries to just indicate what the benefits would be for those different groups. Now, just to provide a quick update, currently, BRT is being rolled out in four cities, Johannesburg, Cape Town, Tshwane, as well as Nelson Mandela. And the challenges that really we've had to grapple with is really within the four cities, is really working with the taxi industry to convince them to basically participate within the system, and also for them to fully understand what the benefits of the system will be. This slide really seeks to just give a vision, a long-term vision of where we want to see ourselves with regard to the public transport system. I will not go into much detail. And this one as well just indicates that in terms of where we are, where we have informal taxis, we could easily leapfrog from an informal system to a formal system where our users are able to benefit from an improved public transport system. These are the different programs that the department is running, the BRT, Taxi Recap, the Housing Improvement Scheme, and Housing. And this slide just seeks to indicate how they all align and support each other. I will not go into much detail. And for each city that implements BRT, they would have to go through a process of planning and design. And basically this slide just indicates or outlines the different processes that they would have gone through. And then the four ones have already gone through most of these actions, and the other ones are still coming on board. Now, I'll just quickly look at the status of planning implementation within the four cities as indicated. Within Johannesburg, currently the proposed target is to actually have the system up and running by the 1st of September 2009. And there's what they call a phase 1A and a phase 1B in terms of the first phase. And they seek to phase 1B being up and running by 2010. I will not go into the details of how many bus with loading introduced and stations and things. I think this slide is ready for your information purposes. which one survives have met for the phase one, and that it will be moving from Soweto to the CBD and then to the region. This one will just give you the full phase one, in terms of phase one and phase one. These are just pictures of where we are now. Johannesburg is one of the cities where we've really advanced in terms of implementation. They've already constructed stations, and basically these just pictures give you an indication of the quality, you know, of infrastructure we wish for. Cape Town as well, they are targeting to have their phase 1A up and running by May 2010. And basically, it focuses around three areas, the western coast, the airport services to the city, as well as their inner feeder distribution system. I will not go into detail about what, you know, vehicles and stations will be, so that's for information. These are the different phases. And then this is just a rendering of how their station would look like. We haven't, in Cape Town, they haven't started with construction of their station. They've just ordered that. And Nelson Mandela, as well as Nelson Mandela as well, they are basically also targeted to have their system, part of their system up and running by May 2010 in preparation for the changes. For the 2010 World Cup, and other elements of the system will then come on board on a continuous basis. And this is just a rendering of how the station would look like. And Pwani is the last city, and this slide as well, as I said, also seeks to just indicate most of the three cities are really targeting to have their system for phase 1A up and running by May 2010. And this is also just a rendering of the bus and as well as the station. Now, as national department, we have consulted with the various stakeholders on the strategy itself. And really, this slide just provides information about the different processes that we have been involved in and who we consulted with when. And what the consultation was about. Just to indicate that I think that the biggest consultation that we really, just to give a quick update, is that from 20th April 2009, I think the industry held a taxi, national taxi summit, and out of that, then the president made a pronouncement that the new administration might be given an opportunity to consider the industry's proposal. And following that, there were pronouncements by the president himself, as the DG said in her opening remarks, to basically take the process forward. And we had a meeting on the 11th of June where government proposed the setting up of the National Joint Working Group. And on the 30th of July, there was a meeting of the National Joint Working Group. And so I will not go into much detail, but this basically just tries to indicate at a national level what processes we have followed in consulting with the industry. Within Joburg as well, consultation processes have also been carried out. Some of the cities have established steering committees, and any, you know, whatever structures that basically would have comprised of the local city itself as well as the local taxi associations or regional or provincial taxi associations. And basically, all these slides provide that information. I will not go into that. That is for Cape Town. And this one is for Nelson Mandela. I think I will end there, so I will take questions.
Thank you very much. I think I'm still the chair of the meeting, so I'll direct the meeting. And it will be me who will indicate when it's the time for discussion. only hand over to the DG if there are any additions.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, just by way of conclusion, I think I'd like to make a number of very important points. The presentation was made before you gave an indication of what it is that has been done so far. I must emphasize, Chairperson, that the process of the National Joint Working Group is basically a new process that started in the month of July, and that process will really determine the outcome of how we move forward. I must be able to indicate that the implementation dates that are proposed by government are implementation dates that are indicative of what would be desirable subject to the successful negotiations in the National Joint Working Group. I think it's important to make that point, Jefferson, because primarily the process itself is aimed at helping us to resolve the outstanding matters as they relate to some of the issues and the concerns that have been raised. Secondly, Jefferson, I think it's important to note as government that we must concede that the consultation process in relation to the BRT of the project, in our view, held starting from 2006, might not have been the most appropriate method of consultation, primarily given the nature of the industry, but also the variety of stakeholders that are affected by such an initiative. So, Chairperson, we would hope that the process between April and today, a very important process that helps us to re-engineer that consultation process to the extent that we maximize participation, we bring on board all affected stakeholders, we also ensure that it is appropriate to the type of industry that we're dealing with. And it therefore allows us, and particularly one of the challenges, to streamline and realign the consultation process between national, if you like, provincial, and even local. Because I think some of the challenges may also refer to that difference between a consultation at local level versus a consultation at the national level. But we are very hopeful that this new process will allow us to streamline that consultation in a single point and basically align all the processes and decision-making at national, provincial, and local level into a single process, unlike the period prior to this, where the greatest challenge was different types of decisions or at least engagements at national level relative to those that were happening at local level. So we are very hopeful, Chair, that as we move forward with this particular process, we'll be able to arrive at agreement with the industry and the other stakeholders, particularly in shaping our way forward that indicates whether we're able to meet particular proposed dates or not, how we engage the industry maximally, how we engage on the issue of maximum participation, but also how we look at the role of other affected stakeholders, such as the very users and commuters that are going to be affected by this particular type of new system. In addition, Chairperson, we anticipate that our consultation process will also focus more clearly on the elements of civil society, particularly including SACCO, and the commuter organizations, the labor movement, and others who would represent directly affected parts of the communities that would basically link to the BRT and other public transport initiatives. Chairperson, we hope that enables at least somewhat of a better context with respect to what we've put before you today. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Before I open for questions and discussions, I would also want to make this particular comment that we appreciate the acknowledgement by the department in relation to the consultation process, because that is what that
is what we think is the issue. But we are supportive of the new approach that is more inclusive and gives all stakeholders an opportunity to engage in this particular matter of improving the public transport in South Africa. We are also of the view that when we move forward, we should also be as inclusive as possible. We are seated here with the department at national level. There are 3 tiers of government with a different mandate, roles, and responsibilities, and those impact on the success and the failure of the transformation of the public transport in South Africa. And we would want to find a way of ensuring that the discussions that are taking place here at national level do also filter down to provincial spheres of government as well as local spheres of government, and also to see a situation where there is a similar engagement at those levels where the process is as complete as possible of the civil society industry. We are also moving from a premise that says the portfolio committee is made of public representatives whose role is to, one, monitor the progress that is being made by the Department of Transport in the transformation process, as well as the impact of the programs that are being implemented on the ground. Is there any improvement or not? Our understanding of the government is that services that are provided by the government are aimed at improving the social and economic conditions of the public at large. We are saying this because we want to explain why we have the civil society participating in this process and why we are pushing from the portfolio committee level for the inclusion of the part of the civil society in the National Joint Working Group. If we were to go back to the slide that we presented, slide number 7 and 8, that talks about the household, the national household travel. All those issues are not about the taxi industry. They are about the receivers of the service, which are the members of the public. It is the members of the public that are not satisfied by the type of service that they are receiving. And the people that are providing the service is the taxi industry and the government. Therefore, in the talks and the transformation process, it cannot only be the taxi industry and the government that is talking and finding ways of satisfying the needs of the public without the inclusion of the public in the whole debate. That is the point we are coming from as the portfolio committee, to say when you look at this national household travel survey, all the things that are said in that survey point to a direction of a civil society that is saying us, as the civil society, who are not satisfied by what is done by them, the them being the taxi industry and the government. Therefore, we have brought all these parties here today to speak for themselves and indicate to us as to whether the new approach is as inclusive as possible, so that we don't move forward and then find ourselves having to backtrack again because we have left the game open. That is why we have invited all these people here today, so that when we move out, we are then in agreement as to how the National Household Travel Survey, how the National Joint Working Group would work, and what is it that we would want to achieve through that. Bearing in mind that the department and the minister account to the portfolio committee. And the portfolio committee is representing parliament in this meeting. And the portfolio committee reports to parliament, which is a structure that represents the interest of the public. So I wanted us to understand that distinction between the government represented by the department and the minister, and the work of the portfolio committee as a public representative structure. I will now open for questions of clarity first, and then input that would come from other structures represented here. Thank you. Including the structure that has been fully joined. Thank you. Honorable.
Thank you very much. Firstly, I must agree with you about the negotiation process, the fact that we need to ensure that all the stakeholders are here. But what I noticed with a bit of concern is the fact that we have the commuter association represented in Gauteng. We have the taxi association as Tsakul and Tankoja. But I don't see any representatives of the four cities that we are now talking about in terms of their progress and what they're trying to do. And surely, I mean, at this level that we are now talking about is actually about we are with two, the real coal-faced investors, and that is the local government there. Now, I just want to establish first from the outset the reason for them not being here, number one. The second thing I want to get clarity on, Chair, is the fact that, and I say this in the interest of the fact that the routes that are going to be selected for the purpose of this BRT are routes which clearly fall across the boundaries of ratepayers who pay the rates on those roads and the maintenance and everything else. I'm saying that is a very big and important driver. The second thing I want to just get clarity on, which has not been mentioned other than the fact that we are talking about having this all ready for the World Cup, what are the implications here of this program vis-a-vis the bid, in other words, the World Cup bid, as to whether there's any implication? If not, then you must just get clarity with this, because recalling the discussions we had with Cartrain, remember they came here with all the glory of saying, this is a World Cup bid and we've got to do it in terms of, when we look at the bid book, there was no reference. So we want to find out what the association is with this, with the World Cup, both in terms of the bid, and also in terms of the funding which is now coming through as part of this program that we are planning. If we can get those sort of things here, then I have many more questions, I'm sure, like many other members here. At this time, if we can get that answer, I'll be very grateful.
Okay. The stakeholders represented in this meeting were identified by the charter because it was the meeting of the portfolio committee. And in my input, I have also mentioned the issue of the other tiers of government. We are taking this as a process. It's not the first and the last meeting. But we also needed to come here so that we can resolve on the issue of who else we want to have as part of this discussion. Because we are also governed by certain rules and policy and procedures terms of the local government, this committee does not have a direct, the local government does not have a direct accountability to this portfolio committee. That can come as a resolution of the portfolio committee's meeting. However, again, in the constitution of this country, there is a provision that says we can summon anybody to account in this portfolio committee. Now, we need to be very careful as to what we do that would lead to a situation of that nature. Because local government is not directly accountable to the portfolio committee, one way of doing that would be to discuss an issue that affects the local government here, which requires them to be part of the discussion. And as per resolution, we would then be able to invite them to come and be part of the meeting. That is what said. I don't want to say the best way of handling this. They are not being excluded from the process, but we are setting a motion that would then eventually lead to their inclusion as part of this discussion. That is all.
We've been as a portfolio committee undertaking over time trips to the mine. That's just part and parcel of the broader World Cup commission. And as this committee.
This is the portfolio committee of the sports parliament. It's not the old portfolio committee which you served in and you undertook those visits. Yes, we are taking that information into consideration, but we were not going to implement that and invite them as if it is that portfolio committee that set at that time. So we are setting up this meeting.
I respect your position, Madam Chair. I'm not getting to the arguments about that. I'm not finished. I'm just trying to explain to you historically.
I was interjecting that to actually explain to you the rationale. And it's not the first time that I'm explaining that rationale.
And I'm just trying to tell you that, you know, the funding that is coming from the national budget and the Department of Transport, which gets directed down to various people, which we are counting. That's all I want to say. So I'm not saying that we have to hold those authorities. There is a constitution imperative to be passed to the terms of the government of that state. All I'm saying to you is that I'm not expecting us to overpass how they spend, but we expect to know what progress is made in terms of the borders of the state. So we're talking about 40, not overpass.
I think we are saying one and the same agency in different ways, and also you are expecting them to be here, and I'm saying this is the process. This is not the first and the last meeting. Can we move on?
Thank you, Chair. Maybe to also ask you on that matter, is that when looking at our process, I think there's an indication that we have two budgets. We think that the way we're going to get the program to accomplish the program.
Thanks, Jim. I'm not going to repeat what I said earlier. I think it's been agreed that we're going to have a process where we will talk to the local authorities, and I would presume that visits to these host cities would include that. So we make sure that we're all on board. I think we all have the same vision, but it's just making sure that we're all on track and getting there. I want to talk about that. There's just a few things I'd like to question pertaining to the presentation and just other additional questions. I agree with the Chair that when you talk about participation, I think it's very, very important, and making sure that all the stakeholders are involved, and it excites me that we also have the commuters represented as well, because as you said rightly,
they, ironically, many times actually the ones who have been forgotten. And they're the ones that need to be serviced and looked after. They should be essential people that should be looking at and concerned with. What I do want to ask, and you may not have the answers now, because just the obvious presentation has been broad brushstrokes. But what concerns me is the recent developments with negotiations with the taxi industry and where we are so far. Now, you may not be able to answer the question immediately, but, you know, we need to make sure that they're part of this process and that there are no holdups while the process is continuing. So we do need the biggest marketing exercise we've ever had to do in South Africa, and that is the 2010 World Cup. And that is the immediate large milestone we need to look at. Obviously, we'll be after that, look beyond that. So we need to make sure we meet the deadlines because we can't move the World Cup. We've got to meet those. So if perhaps there could be, just for the committee, a detailed presentation where we are in these discussions. Obviously, they're very sensitive. But what I'm asking really is, I get the impression that there may be holdups and certain disagreements. And if that is the case, what is it? And if it's not the case, that's good news. Then what I want to ask is, there was no mention, and I'm presuming that that this is part of your process, talking about, for example, all the modes of transport, be it bus, taxis and so forth, that they are wheelchair and any other kind of physically challenged friendly. That includes blind and deaf friendly. I ask this, you know, it should be it talks about it briefly, but I just want to just rest in my mind that this is the case throughout. So that anybody who has any kind of physical impairment is able to move around quite freely in any of these intermodal transports. And that can be confirmed. And secondly, I want to ask you, are those communities being consulted? And I ask this because I was in a wheelchair for over a year myself, confined to a wheelchair. And it's only when you're in that position that you realize, you know, what the problems are and what the impediments are. So an able-bodied person may, in all well-meaning, try and deal with these issues, but you actually need to consult these communities. And I just want to confirm this is the case. The other question that I want to ask is, I see that some of the cities haven't started construction, and are there time frames that the national department is happy with, that they're meeting, that even though the construction of these, physical construction of these stations haven't started, but they will indeed reach deadlines and so forth. Concerned me at this stage that the construction hasn't started in certain cities. But if the department is happy that everything's on track, then that's good news too. And then what I wanted to, on final comment, Chair, is what I'd like to propose over and above, obviously, the cities that we mentioned earlier and the relative provinces involved, is also that we at some stage during our process, Madam Chair, also include representatives from FIFA and the World Cup to make sure that they're also happy with what we're doing, and we're meeting the required standards. Because, as I said, it's going to be the biggest marketing exercise in South Africa, and we've got to show the world that we're not just, we can do it, but we're the best ever. Thank you, Chair.
Before I get to the next 2 points, I want to eliminate questions that have got answered in the presentation. On page 7 of the presentation, slide number 25, talks about the characteristics and benefits of the BRT. That slide outlines the benefits to the people with physical challenges. And what I hear Honorable Refresha saying is that included in the civil society composition would be a need
has the NGO that represents the people with physical challenges so that they themselves represent their needs and their views instead of the civil society without them. And I think we could resolve that issue, that we needed to include them. Honorable Eden.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Eden. I think it is necessary for people and us, if they have done anything, to say, yes, we are on the right track. We appreciate the thought of transport from Texas to the neighboring district. And we now see that it's quite a significant time. Rather than saying, yes, it has been like that in 1964 and 1920. As planes are coming in numbers, even transport is coming in numbers. It has been very stressful to move from Johannesburg, say, to Tshwane outside Tshwane, you take a taxi to Temple Park. In the evening, you take a taxi from Temple Park to Pretoria and Pretoria to outside. Now that we have thought about it, we can see that now the department is not doing its job as such, but they are able to move it. And that was good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Allow me to do something. I'd basically like to know whether within the list of stakeholders who have attended this session, are there any members of the National Working Group? National Joint Working Group. I'm particularly posing this question, Chair, because during the introduction, I would have expected members to speak to that particular issue instead of speaking as a representative of individual associations. I don't know if it's whether because of the invite that was issued today. But then my question number two would be to check from the department side as to, in terms of their engagement with the stakeholders, are they also discussing issues around ticketing, security, and maintenance with this stakeholder, with those stakeholders as prospective service providers to that effect?
Thank you. Before I give to the head of the ANC in the committee, I would want also to eliminate another question so that if the department doesn't respond to what is not directed to them. We did not intend in this meeting to engage with the National Joint Working Group. We have invited the department to give us a progress report. But because we have also identified gaps, which we talked about during our budget vote debate and also during our own sitting of the portfolio committee, we invited the people that are part of the process and those that are not part of the process, which is why we would have here Sanko, you would have SACO, which is the joint state, you would have MTA, and you would have Santaco. Because our responsibility as the portfolio committee is to ensure that we listen to all and then we engage with the department in terms of the gap and also recommend to Parliament for areas of improvement if we don't find each other with the department.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks to the presenter. I'm not sure if we're still dealing with the Chairperson, or are we making, or are we still dealing with that?
It is very difficult to control that situation because you know that the public representatives get paid because of talking, so they end their salary by way of talking. So so you can't control that situation. So it's now both.
Okay. Now, thank you, Chairperson. You know, our concern in the committee has always been that the department, the communication of the department was not up to scratch. And I'm really impressed today, you know, with the reports that we have received today, that there has been consultation. Even though the DG acknowledged in her briefing that even though they've made the consultation, but because of what is happening now, maybe it was not supposed to be the way it was. But the fact that, you know, most of the things that we say in this community, when we see it being implemented, it's really something that we applaud ourselves to, together with the department. It shows that we're going somewhere. So congratulations for that. But I also wanted to find out, you know, in the National Household Travel Survey, which was done in 2003. You know, most of the time, campuses, you find that you have all these surveys, but you don't make, you know, each survey and then that is put it aside, but you don't go back to what you have done before, previously. And I think, you know, having consulted this survey was really key because, I mean, we've just been from elections and, you know, in the ANC, we went door to door, and, you know, some of the problems that have been in this survey are the problems that we've had ourselves, you know, when as we're dealing with consultations and all that. But I wanted to find out, when are you doing the review? And again, I remember when we had that survey, you know, it's 20 cars as well. So they are not included here. Is it because that has been improved, or what is it expected? And there are, you know, when you go to rural areas, Jefferson, you find that there are still commuters who are using cars. Especially farm workers, they're using trucks from wherever to go to clinics and all that. So I think this is something that we need to talk about as well. But you know, when I look at page 13, I want to, you know, the characteristics and benefits of BRT, well trained and friendly drivers and stuff. Actually going from one city to the other, in terms of making sure that the BRT things are taken into consideration and all that. How is this going to be done? My question is, you know, when you look into taxi driver services, which is the concern that you said, I remember at some stage we asked Santiago, they said to us that there's a training process for taxi drivers. But, you know, when you go down, the significance of this training process is not there at all. We still find what taxi drivers being rude to commuters, and you know, things have not changed. So I want to find out who's doing this exactly, if this can be extended to taxi drivers. And I know that there's their own concerns as well, you know, waiting, you know, ungodly hours, and they know for them to get money into their pockets, they have to work extra hours and all that. And that's why mainly it's affecting the friendliness and all that. But I just want to find out, because I really said, if this is going to happen, can whoever will be training these drivers, can that also happen to taxi drivers? Because we need them, especially in our locations and all that. So, Chairperson, I will end there for now. Thanks. And to say thank you, Chairperson, just before I switch off the mic, the process of consultation, I'm not sure if you have said it in your presentation, I might not have heard you, but the commuters themselves, which are the people who are really using public transport, it's not about, you know, any or getting profits and all that, it's about those people who really need this public transport. As you were dealing with consultation, did you consult the commuters as well?
I sometimes simplify questions to help them better understood. The question by Honorable Kono is around the training and the behavior of drivers and conductors. And the question is, what does the training why are we seeing no change in terms of the behavior of the drivers and conductors? We had a discussion with Mr. Mpeng around this issue, as well as the DG around this issue. Mr. Mpeng will go to say, why a taxi driver and a taxi conductor, that is part of the community, would change as soon as you sit in the taxi behind the wheel and as nothing. When it's the survival of the both the owner of the taxi and the driver of the taxi and the conductor of the taxi is actually dependent on the commuter using the taxi. Why is that an issue? Why a driver and the conductor of the taxi doesn't see the commuter as a source of the income and the sustainability of the business? May I say in the life? In the same manner, why is the attitude of the commuter negative towards a taxi driver and the conductor in such a way that when this driver walks past me in the community, he greets me and I greet him by his name. But as soon as he is behind the steering and Ustaba, 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 why does it happen that way? Why are we not seeing the need of respecting each other and realizing that we need each other? Which is why we strongly feel that the civil society has to be part of this transformation process, because all those people, the lawmakers, the government, the taxi owners, the taxi drivers, the taxi conductors, live in a community. Why do they behave differently when they are in their different places of employment? And part of the solution is the engagement that goes beyond the BRT, but tries to address how we look at each other and how we treat each other. So the question there is about the training. What does it take to achieve, and why are we seeing no change? Is this because the service providers are not having an effective training program, or the manner in which the drivers and conductors are being trained and available to the training leaves them having not acquired any skills and having an understanding of what is it that we are trying to change?
Thank you, Shepherdson. I think my first question will be on the system that was placed before the meeting of the 11th June to consult various stakeholders, because we're not starting this process afresh, but it was a process to update. But we have just maybe identified some gaps. That is why we've decided to establish the National Joint Working Group. What system was there before, and what gaps were there that led to the establishment of this National Joint Working Group?
So when looking also at the presentation, I assume that the composition of this National Joint Working Group is composed of government reps and also the taxi industry, taxi association reps. But I want to just get a clarity, where are the commuters being featured in this committee? Then the other one, Chair, when looking at the document, it indicates the challenge of the poor work weights and also the fact that maybe to first get what lens I need, because it's a challenge all over the country. Pedestrians have no pedestrian walkways and also the cycles. That is why we've got this high rate of pedestrian accidents and so on. What lens are being put in place to ensure that the walkways are there for all the transport modes that we are introducing? There's a space for them to walk free. Then the other one, we are talking of the characteristics and benefits of the citizen. What I don't get here is what will be the benefits of the taxi operator. Because when looking at your presentation, you are talking about the difficult part to persuade the taxi owner. Of benefits to themselves. But also when I was looking at the presentation, I was just trying to get exactly what are the benefits of the taxi operator. Because maybe the problem is that is why they're so difficult, because I'm going to look at the good way, what is it that they are going to benefit from this BRT project. What is the benefit of the taxi operator? On top of that, how is the government going to access the taxi operators to be part of this project? Because you know that taxi operators, you know, that just work in, they're like subsistence farmers. You get the money, you pay the taxi, you eat, that finish. Then how is the government going to access them to be part of this project? Then, out of the challenges that was mentioned, you said transforming the taxi operators into a business operating company is a problem. Maybe can you just unpack that, because I was just thinking about the context of what is the intention of the department with regard to this business. Then out of also the benefits of the commuters, I was just looking at all the bullet space. Nowhere where you are talking about the affordability. Because that is one of the major challenges that we are experiencing of the affordability of the public and transport. Then the last one, Shane. I think we are talking about page 16. Bullet number 3. We are saying phase 1A will remove 575 taxis and carry the 90,000 passengers a day. Maybe can I get the chance to get the Colorado removal of the 575 taxis? What do you mean? Then the other one, on page 21, number 12, that it appears that funding will not reach the above deadline. What is really given?
Can I add a question? Same slide. In your presentation, you don't explain to the benefits of the taxi industry within a broad-based black economic empowerment context. You are also not explaining that benefit within the context of narrowing the gap between the first and the second economy, which would indicate to us that the taxi industry is going to benefit in the entire value chain. You are presenting a situation to us in that slide that worries us. It talks about the removal of the 575 taxis and the formation of a company. And our understanding is that the broad-based black economic empowerment policy would be linked to the cooperative development strategy in South Africa, which then demonstrate the black, the true black, the broad-based black economic empowerment, because if it was implemented along the lines of the capitalist system, it would then enrich a few. But the cooperative development principles are then taking us towards the direction of the broad-based black economic empowerment, and also taking us closer to narrowing the gap between the first and the second economy. Can you explain that to us, to say, in removing, in the first phase, 575 taxes, and then have a company of the affected associates, how does that relate to the cooperative development approach of the government, as well as the broad-based economic empowerment approach? And also, you are explaining phase 1B, that it will remove 2,720 taxes and replace them with 637 buses. Who are the owners of the buses, if we may be given an understanding? And what do you mean by saying that the associations with the operators, what does that mean? And how does the taxi association benefit in the entire region?
Well, I can, would like to come in, Chairperson, with respect, please, to have some comment as we represent the committees in South Africa. We like also to say that we thank the chairperson of the Popola Committee and honorable members that they have spoken to before around the question of inclusive of the representatives of the committees. And this becomes to us as another second tenet where it used to be used by the previous regime, where commuters were just subject that they had to receive whatever they have been given, not to have participation and also give input on the issue of developing and transforming our public transport in this country. As the case that public transport in the previous regime was a thing of the black people who stayed in the township and rural areas, not used by the white people because they were driving cars. I would like also to say that we are very much concerned, as we are sitting here, we don't have those documents that you are perusing there. We are not being afforded that we can be fully participating and get and come with some solutions of addressing this question of public transport, especially the BRT. We've been hearing and seeing government, Department of Transport or government, and the taxi industry fighting, and the commuters have been just neglected. And we've been calling a circle that we need to have a national commuter endeavor in this country to address this question of BRT, to address the question of the taxi recapitalization, because we as circle, we've been saying since 1999, when we came back with the representatives of the taxi industry, during that time they were still mother bodies. We went with them to outsource and get better vehicles that are going to be safe. We agreed with the taxi industry. But when the process as it keeps going on, we have been isolated, not been engaged, and we'll be told by certain officials that it's about the taxi industry. You cannot remove a commuter and a taxi operator and a bus operator and a train operator from the commuter. These three things, they go together. Unless if we are still saying we are not yet committed to transform public transport in this country. I might say, Chairperson, that we as SACO, we support the taxi recapitalization process for the sake of the safety of the commuters. We also support the BRT, but we were not part and parcel being involved, engaged. And we are happy that you have just mentioned that. And we believe that the Department of Transport will take that thing very seriously not to undermine us for not engaging us with all the stakeholders. We believe that the chairperson, wouldn't understand to us at SACO that when government says to develop rail, it can cost a lot of money, can take 5 years. We fail to understand why, how can it was just an easy thing to be implemented within 3 months while it was called here in Gauteng, implemented by the government of Gauteng, that it is the project of the premier, and the national government have bought to put the funds to continue with the Gauteng, which is the thing that is not going to save our people. It's not going to reach our people, and it's not going to be affordable to our people. Even at this day, the very same country, it shows that when it passes along the location in Alexandria and so forth, there is no station. But it only focuses on the tourism people who are coming to do business in South Africa and so forth, but not to address our public transport that is in a fiasco. We are also calling that in urging chairperson that we want to see more money being put in the train, as we have said as committee representatives, that our, as a nation, we need to know what is our backbone public transport. We have chosen that a rail should be our backbone, followed by the taxi industry and buses. Buses must become feeder system to that huge operators, which is the taxis and trains, who are taking a capacity, more capacity of people to their respective places. We also calling that the rural areas have been neglected, but those communities in the rural area are they also part and parcel of the taxpayer money, and they are not being taken into consideration. When we raise this issue, we are told about the financial, but there is billions and billions of rand that has been spent on Gautrain. I don't believe that South Africa is in the position to have a type of public transport, a Gautrain, to be taken as a priority number one. And the way it was still wrong to the portfolio committee, we are still not concerned about the Gautrain, but the money government is putting on the Gautrain. And also, we also want to comment that we are very much disturbed with our colleagues, our brothers and sisters who are in the taxi industry. Even themselves, Fantaco, MTA, you name them, or Chopsticks and so forth, they never consulted us. They know us. They never consulted us to say we've got this problem. We just only see the strikes and so forth, and commuters didn't become victims, beaten by the so-called taxi operators, which are drivers. And we fail to understand when is that culture is going to come to an end. And we don't believe as SACO that government is responsible for training an employee of the taxi industry. It's the responsibility of the taxi industry to train its own people and know that what their businesses are they doing. It's not the responsibility of the government, to our belief. Like, if that is the case, then the government has to train more nurses, we have to train more people to recruit more people and employ to become teachers and teach children at the school. If the government should be responsible to train the drivers. If that is the case, then the bus drivers, when is the government going to train them? If they can manage to train the taxi industry. According to the NTTT, that was the agreement, the government won't empower the taxi industry due to the old system that they found themselves not being headed by the previous government. We also supported as SACO that the government must empower the taxi industry through subsidy as well. Because the taxi industry people, they operate even into the informal settlement. They don't work like other bus companies, which they need a guarantee of subsidy and the road to be both the tires, to have a tire the road in good condition. They also fetch us in the spotter camp. With this comment, chairperson, I would like that also we support, we want to be part and parcel of the National Joint Working Group. If we are not part and parcel of it, it's doomed to fail. And also we want to say that there is also an issue of a smart card that we have proposed in 1996. We said we want to have a smart card that will integrate all three modes of public transport that can be used by the commuter. We have do our level best, even when we are not being funded by the Department of Transport or government, even at this day, whereby the Department of Transport has the tendency of subsidizing the taxi industry, which are the business people to us. They are making money every day. But we, as a lobbying structure, we are not being funded even today. We only, our offices are in our basement or to our houses, to our dining rooms or kitchens. We are saying that the smart card technology that we have proposed, we do have it. We'll be happy to be given an opportunity that we come and do our presentation to the portfolio committee on this matter. We do hear that there are certain quarters, certain companies or certain consultants who are coming up with a certain smart card without consulting the representatives of the committee and the civil society organization, like SANCO, for instance, which operates within ourselves in the community. Those things, Chairperson, will never accept it. I thank you.
Thank you very much for those comments. And I think we are starting a new process, which is why we are having this meeting as a starting point. May I give back to the DG to respond to some of the issues raised before we then have the comments from the taxi industry and the civil society that is represented here today. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, honourable members, may I start by responding to some of the questions that have been put forward. Honourable Chairperson, I think you have adequately addressed the issue of local government representation. We are merely here as your government invited by yourself, and I think that process will be taken care of by the portfolio committee rather than ourselves. The second question was around the bid book for 2010 and directly related to our ability to achieve our targets. Chairperson, can I also confirm that the content of the bid book relates to an ability for South Africa as the host of the 2010 FIFA World Cup tournament, specifically meeting particular targets that FIFA sets for itself, the targets that are required for the successful operation and hosting of the tournament? The bid book does not prescribe to South Africa as to how and through what intervention those targets are to be met. So therefore, by definition, we would indicate to FIFA that we are confident that South Africa would be able to move those categories of people, including the FIFA family, the media, match ticket holders and other fans in relation to their prescribed requirements in the bid book. What then happened subsequent to the submission of the bid book was the development of our own plan, which we submitted to FIFA in order to demonstrate how those targets would be met. What the bid book holds us to is the achievement of those targets. The plans are entirely our responsibility. So, for example, Chairperson, if we chose to move people from Oliver Tambo International Airport to the center of Johannesburg and to Ellis Park Stadium using a train, that specifically is our target. But if we changed our mind halfway through and decided to move them by bus, that would still be our target. So I just need us to understand clearly that we are not bound by modes and types of interventions. We are bound by meeting the target and moving the number of people from a particular point to another. The most critical of those would be movement of people between games, to the various folk cities between those games. And again, in that particular context, there is guidance about what the maximum travel would be for particular categories of groups. So, for instance, if there is to be a game in Cape Town, we would know
that the people of Johannesburg who are attending that game, which occupies a particular percentage of the stadium capacity at Greenpoint, will be moved by aircraft necessarily, because if they were to be moved by road, their travel time would exceed 12 hours. That's how the plan has been developed. And by definition, therefore, I'd like just shortly to respond by saying the method and the mode of movement is not fixed in as far as FIFA is concerned. The issues about hold-up, Chairperson, I would indicate the Honourable Member has left the room at this particular point, but I'm sure you, Mr. Honourable Member Farrow, will give back the message. We have no sense from where we sit as a department that there is a hold-up in this particular process. In fact, far from it, we are very confident in the process of negotiations bearing results. We are confident about the outcomes that are likely to emerge from that particular negotiation process, and we are not in any way feeling as if this process is not going to be successful. However, we continue to participate. We commit to resolving all the challenges that we have to deal with, and we are confident that we'll be able to proceed without significant hindrance in relation to the matters specifically relating to BRT. The issues around time frame for construction and whether the cities will meet these deadlines, etc., Chairperson, again, FIFA is very clear in the big book. We have to move people from point A to point B. Whether we move them by a bus, whether we move them by a taxi, whether we move them by a taxi on a dedicated lane, whether we move them by whatever the method is entirely up to South Africa. So therefore, by definition, and I will just give an indication around the Confederation Cup. We had a very successful event from the Confederation Cup. We had a solution. We had largely a significant number of the members of the taxi industry participating and providing very critical services, particularly in the areas of Johannesburg, Rustenburg, and Mangaung, and Tshwane, and were able to deliver a service. I think we had challenges, and those challenges don't relate to the inability to move people. They relate to some technical issues about directional signage, which is a matter we sent back to FIFA, because they initially refused for directional signage within the perimeter, and that created a problem of people exiting stadia and not knowing where to go. That principally was the challenge we faced around Concert Cup. But the delivery of people to stadia was an excellent service over those hours. The challenge was in exiting stadia because of lack of directional signage, which we pointed out to FIFA themselves. We, however, are working further in dealing with these matters in order to resolve them. Honourable Chairperson, the issues about the National Joint Working Group. Specifically, Chairperson, we would resolve or would suggest that the matters that are currently under discussion by the National Joint Working Group, with your permission, Chairperson, if you would allow us to refrain from discussing those here. We just think, Chairperson, it would not be useful for us to discuss matters that are under consideration in the National Joint Working Group if we are to retain the credibility of the negotiation process, but importantly, if we are to allow for a conducive negotiating environment. I'm sure members of the Portfolio Committee will understand that if we made matters that are under discussion in the National Joint Working Group, we would significantly not be negotiating with the industry and other stakeholders, will be negotiating with the country at large. And that is a particular problem. I would therefore make a specific request to the Portfolio Committee that those matters that are under discussion at the National Joint Working Group be considered at a later stage. We believe that stage will come soon at which we are able to discuss those matters. Right now, we would really like to refrain from engaging in those matters in the public domain for obvious reasons that would constrain and, in impact on the successful process that we want to embark upon in the National Transport Working Group. And therefore, Chairperson, those matters about what the discussions are, whether matters are on the agenda or not. And it will also cover, Chairperson, some of the issues that relate to what are going to be the benefits to the industry, because that is precisely what we are discussing. In fact, Chairperson, I would say that it would be quite easy for us to say this was our original intention as government. But because we're negotiating with the industry and we are discussing the value chain items and all of those matters, we think it would probably be imprudent at this stage to say which ones are, let that be seen as an articulation by government that the state are complete, because in fact it is not. We are still under discussion and those matters are being considered in their various elements. And that's why in our presentation, Chairperson, we limit ourselves to speaking to the benefits of the commuters, the benefits to the public, and the environment that we create without specifically dealing with the issues around the taxi industry itself. It's not an omission, Chairperson. It is a request that those matters not be discussed because they are currently being negotiated. The other members asked the question about the review of the National Household Travel Survey. We are currently doing that already. It's currently underway. It will probably have results, I would guess, in the beginning of the new year, where we would then be able to announce a new National Household Travel Survey. We have not excluded Chairperson, other categories in the National Household Travel Survey. It exists in its current form. It is a very comprehensive survey. It covers all modes of transport. It deals with rural and other areas. But we just extracted the elements that related to public transport for the purposes of this presentation. We would be quite happy, Chairperson, to come back to you and make a full presentation of the National Household Travel Survey, particularly the reviewed one, which will then give you updated figures on all of those elements. We further break down that survey into provinces and towns, and we can tell you in town X, these are the views of the people at that level. Because, in fact, it is intended, the National Household Travel Survey, to be the basis for policy formulation and our own assessment, the views of the public, the facilities available, the constraints in the sector, and therefore the proposal that then we make in policy and strategy terms in order to be able to take us forward and address the very concerns indicated by commuters. The issue around training, Chairperson, and I note the comments that have also been made by the honorable member of the head of SACO around the training elements, but would indicate that we have embarked on a program of training in line with NCCC, particularly in our transport sector CETA, which is called TETA, the Transport Education and Training Authority. The department was also assisted in that process by allocating further funds so that training can progress. We have made some inroads in successfully training drivers and taxi drivers in this particular instance. We also have, interestingly, an awarding competition that gives us the taxi driver of the year, the taxi driver, et cetera, which is an indication of how we try and measure the impact and the effectiveness of that training in society at large. I think, Chairperson, the only limitation is that the number of people that are able to go through the training program at a given time is not as big as we would probably like them to. I'm not sure that the change that society perceives should already be seen is not there because of any reluctance of any particular party. I would just suspect that it's the numbers that are going through the training at a particular time which are not as large as they desirably should be at this time. And that's a function of their working ability to take time off work. It's a function of their money that's available for the training program. It's a function of how many people and how long the training programs are in order to be able to deal with that effectively. But we really believe we can improve in that area and ensure more people are taken through the training program, and we measure the impact of that more successfully. And I'm sure in the years to come we will see greater progress in those particular areas. The service providers, Chairperson, who provide provide the training, we would think are probably at an appropriate time now to be evaluated and assessed, because I think what we really have seen so far was the initial phases of that training program, and we would be able to embark on an assessment of how effective the training program really is once we've reached almost the end of that first cycle. The next set of questions then deal with the issues around, firstly, the gaps in the consultation process. In my concluding remarks, Chairperson, I indicated quite clearly that as a government, we want to start by just acknowledging that we ourselves, upon reflection, would acknowledge that that consultation process was not appropriate. And we indicate in the slide that we give what meetings were held and with whom. But clearly, I think if you understand the nature of the taxi industry and how it operates, we would have largely been more desirable for a much more intense consultative process rather than workshops and conferences, etc., which would have then required thorough detailed discussions on particular elements, would have required a proper understanding about the implications, etc. And in that regard, I would say we did not succeed. And that's why we perceive this process, particularly of the National Joint Working Group, as an important process to help us overcome what was really the challenge. The biggest challenge that we faced in relation to the consultation process was the separation of two processes. At local government level, there were steering committees that engaged, to use Johannesburg as an example, for instance. But clearly, what didn't exist was the almost the synergy between the working group, which is directly about the affected people of operators sitting at Johannesburg on a particular route, and the entire process. But that's primarily, from our perspective, simply because of the two levels of government and how they operate. National government is responsible for broadly providing for the framework of how BRP should operate, and ensuring that there's funding allocated for it in particular instances. The local level, I would say, that level of consultation was really devolved to the local level. But with time, it became quite clear that even that local consultation was not in the way that it should have been. And I think that's what we acknowledge is a particular problem. Ideally, you should have had a synergy and a single mechanism for consultation rather than the different arrangements. And that's why we perceive the role of the National Joint Working Group as a critical one in forging that alignment between those processes, so that you're not having a group of people sitting at local and talking about one set of issues and others at national on another process. But also similarly, I think it would be important to say even that process was inadequate, and the amount of consultation was also significantly inadequate. We review that process and we agree about how we would like to move forward and would like to give maximum opportunity for proper engagement around those particular matters so that we can include that. Chairperson, with respect to the issue around the participation of commuters, I think we would agree largely on the expanded composition of the, at least the involvement of commuters in the process, and I'm sure we would all agree that they are important components of that particular process. We had already made proposals prior to this meeting with respect to that, and we think those will be taken forward to ensure inclusion. In addition to that, we had already had a consultation with the labor movement around their potential involvement as well around this particular area. The issue around walkway cycles and a high rate of accidents in these areas, we have in the Department of Transport a strategy which was developed, discussed in October 2007, if I'm not mistaken, which is called the Non-Motorized Transport Strategy, which deals with all of these matters that are not about motorized transport,
walkways, crossways, bicycles, paths, safety, and all of the elements, donkey carts, rural transport in particular elements, infrastructure for their purposes, funding, projects, programs, and the implementation of that. A chairperson, I think it's important to highlight the point that we're making earlier on. If that program is being implemented, we have, in the rural context particularly, a strategy which is the Integrated Rural Mobility Access Strategy called IRMA, I-R-M-A, which is rolled out in the department, which includes several of these interventions in rural areas particularly, which is aimed at improving accessibility in rural areas. In the urban context, again, we implement the non-motorized transport strategy that then deals with the linkages between walkways, cycleways, and public transport. Importantly, I must also add that the mechanism for implementation currently, which has allowed us to fast-track these elements, primarily is located in the 2010 plan, particularly of whole cities, where it refers specifically to Stadia Precinct, the areas around Stadia Precinct. Secondly, the fan parks, which are proposed by those whole cities, and basically the perimeter and access to the fan parks, and the public viewing sites that are intended for participation in the tournament or viewing of the tournament in public areas. And that's where those programs are also being implemented on a fast-track basis to be able to implement it. However, I must indicate some cities have moved ahead. Cape Town particularly has implemented a cycling strategy. Sydney has got a cycling strategy. So most of them are implementing them in various forms, and they continue to do so in various areas. Chairperson, in relation to the issue of the question around the affordability of public transport, and I think that particular issue is raised specifically in the context of the benefits from the perspective of bringing BRT and making it more affordable to the South African public. May I just indicate, I think the omission of emphasis on the issue of affordability is not a deliberate one. It is specifically because in South Africa today, the issues and the challenges that face public transport is order of priority. Affordability is not the highest priority. The highest priority is access, facilities, disability access, availability, and all of those issues. In fact, when we interrogate clearly the issues around train fees in South Africa, train fees have been capped at a particular level for a very long time, and we've not even been able to discuss the issue of increasing train fares as a mechanism. The taxi industry has excelled in managing the issues around taxi fares in a way that keeps them affordable, largely more affordable, in fact, despite even the several increases in petrol prices that we see. That area has still been sufficiently managed. We would be concerned on new developments such as BRT and others, and trying to maintain the same affordability level for commuters in order to ensure that they continue to become available and accessible to all. So we see affordability as a priority, and in the South African context, affordability is quite well managed. In what we've been able to achieve through the various levels of subsidization that continues to provide a mechanism for government and all of us to intervene and bring down the pricing of that. And that's why, importantly, Chairperson, the final resolution of the matter of the taxi industry subsidization becomes an important element, because the mode of transport, whether you are in a train or a bus or a taxi, we believe should be uniform in the way that it is administered, including the issues around how government supports and facilitates movement and subsidizes the provision of those services.
So it becomes an important element, and that's why we're in the negotiations with National Treasury about finalizing that outstanding issue of the subsidization of the taxi industry to make sure that we're able to sustain the affordability levels moving forward. Chairperson, the issues around the relationship between BRT buses and the taxis that are currently operating on particular routes. The honourable member refers to the issue of the 575 removal and all of that. If I may just start by saying, frankly, that we are still in deliberations about this and these matters are being discussed, but as far as the proposal is concerned from our side, the reality is that the ownership of the buses that would operate is still vested with the same operator. And I think that's an important point to make. There is no envisaged other party who would come in and own the buses other than those that are currently operating in those particular areas. So I think that's a very valid point. In areas where the current operators are the taxi industry, they will become the owner of the particular bus company that operates. In areas where you have both buses and taxis, I think the example of Cape Town, I'm made to understand, you would have both those parties taking on. And that's a principal rights issue about the rights of those of license holders who are there to become the new owners of the system. And Jefferson, I think that's an underlying principle of rights that we would respect. Knowing that we're still in negotiations, we're still going to discuss this with the taxi industry, the details of that and all of that. But I just like to indicate from almost a constitutional and a legal position, those rights cannot be compromised. Those rights cannot be given to any other party except those that are there. And that is a principle, it's something as government we can never be removed from. And we know that we expected to respect that. So I'm saying that just to clarify that matter, which is, a rights issue rather than the details of what we're discussing, because that's a separate matter we discuss and finalize it. We respect absolutely the rights of those individuals. And that means then in relation to the issue of the 575, again, that is under discussion, that is a proposal, but it would be dealt with in the context of the negotiations as well. But effectively what it estimates is the number of people that are currently there on that particular route that is affected, and would mean the ownership of the new system would be vested in those 575 people or operators or vehicles that are currently existing in that particular system. I'm moving on a very tight rope here, person, because I'm trying to avoid not discussing the details around the negotiations, but to just illustrate what principle would guide how we move forward in relation to the negotiations. At least from a legal perspective, there is no intention on government part to replace anybody with any other external party. By definition, if there are no external parties, there are people who are there now, and those people would assume the right to continue, albeit operating in a different mode. Chairperson, you raised the issue very critically of the BEE, and I must just indicate that we are guided by the BEE Charter in terms of how we would look at these particular areas and be guided by them also in terms of the taxi industry benefits, but again, would negotiate those and discuss with them largely in relation to that. Narrowing the gap between the first and the second economy, I think it's important for us to see a primary objective of this particular instance of being an opportunity to establish, form businesses that operate a BRT system that is almost equivalent to first world standards. And by definition, and that means in the current economic paradigm, we should see this intervention as one that particularly facilitates that and moves us from where we are currently to a mechanism of better infrastructure, of better systems, of better operations, which whose details is still being negotiated, but that enable us to provide services in a public transport system that is close to the best, one of the best in the world. The issues around how we achieve that is the question which we would need to outline. But improvement of the public transport service remains a critical objective. I think that we would all agree on, and particularly our commuters would not only agree, but they would demand that of us and demand that we invest what government funds and makes available principally to improve the quality of life and the quality of their experience to this particular sector. Very briefly, Chairperson, on the national of the SACO issue, we would agree, Chairperson, on a consultative process, I think, with SACO. Our intention was to even hold a separate process with them and engage on the issue in order to then facilitate their involvement in this process, including what I think the SACO president points out as a national commuter summit of some sort that engages the commuter sector principally. I'm sure we can look at those issues and move forward with them. The involvement of rural areas, Chairperson, I can indicate there's a slide that contains the list of cities, if I may just refer members to that. It includes 6 metro, 6 smallish towns, and 6 rural districts, and we think in that we've covered, but we will then progressively move to another set after the first 18 has been implemented, but the areas are indicated there. Chairperson, I think we would note other comments and maybe come back to the issues as we proceed, but I would like to just indicate that as government, we remain committed to this process. We will be driven by the outcomes of the National Joint Working Group in terms of where we go with the balance of the program and how far we take it and what areas get implemented in agreement by consensus through that joint National Working Group process. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I will now give the opportunity to the taxi industry represented here. We have two groups, Sankalco and Western Cape Bay National Taxi Alliance. I will start with Sankalco.
Chairperson and honorable members of the portfolio committee, okay, thank you for the opportunity which we have been given to be able to listen to the discussions and also the presentation of the department. It's a pity I'm speaking before my president, but I think there is a very pertinent and serious statement I wish to register in this house before the president speaks. And this is to remind this portfolio committee and government that the taxi industry is embracing change and is serious about going into new ventures and innovations in this country. But also, what is very serious is that we are worried about what government terms as recognized democratic structure. I must indicate that there was a process in 2001 which was envisaged, actually not envisaged, but which was put forward as a unification process of the taxi industry. There were 34 federal structures in South Africa. There was 3 national, what you could call national structures, which call the national representatives of the taxi industry, and a unification process was undertaken with the supervisory of government under the minister of the late former minister of transport, Advocate Dula Oba. The statement, why I'm making this statement, it's because I need clarity from government and both the portfolio committee whether there has been a decision somewhere within government of the reversal of the process so that members who have committed themselves to that unification process be told that there is a reversal and the process is no more recognized and that other people who are sitting outside should be given an opportunity to resurrect so that they come forward as legitimate structures of that time. Because government has decided to disrespect democratic processes taking place within the taxi industry. And the statement has just been confirmed, Chairperson, by yourself, that you have invited two groups here from the taxi industry. And for me, as a democratically elected structure of the taxi industry who has been mandated by the taxi industry, it becomes imperatively impossible to sit in a meeting where I am equal to a grouping or to a situation where I am sitting with a non-democratic structure. And in this particular case, Santaco has gone through the process, and that's why Santaco was born. And if government has decided that it undermines that process, we need to be updated. Thank you very much.
I think I have to respond to that before the president of Santaco. I don't remember saying I have invited NCA. I said I've invited the taxi industry. And NCA will need to make their own presentation as to how did it happen for them to be here. In our program that is in front of us, we have indicated that we invited Santaco, Sanko, and Sanko. However, there was an engagement during the process of election with all the groupings, which involved me personally and a request by the NCA to engage with them at a later stage. That process was not going to be in this meeting. But because of the fact that they came, I was told by one member of parliament to say that there is a delegation that wanted to meet with me. And upon realizing who that delegation was, I then opened an opportunity for them to sit here and be part of this meeting with a view of also engaging on the very same process in order to get an explanation as to how the process of unifying the capital industry was concluded and where are we now? Do we have two structures or we have one structure to interact with? A similar process happened with the civic organization in this country. All civic bodies came to be part of one umbrella body, SAMCO. The same is expected within the capital industry to make the work of the government easy and the work of the portfolio committee easy. But we are not here to discuss the issues of how the capital industry is structured. I think what we are here to discuss today is the progress that has been made in as far as in the engagement with the capital industry and in as far as the BRC is concerned. And whatever issues that are related to the structural arrangement, I think could be discussed at the National Joint Working Group level, because that's where we would be ironing all the issues that are related to the situation. However, we need also
to have an understanding that then at government level we cannot shut the door to any particular representative of the public when that representative of the public wants to engage. A similar position happens at parliamentary level where if a particular group wants to engage with us, we keep the doors open, and then through that engagement we identify problems and we move forward to address the problem. So I would appeal and say that we are already here, and part of this process is to address and settle those issues. And therefore, let us not take this meeting as a meeting of either or. If Bantako is here, MTA should not be here. If MTA is here, Bantako should not be here. Let us look at this as a process of addressing all the issues that relate to the stakeholders in this country.
Chairperson, let me say that, for instance, the reason we are making this statement, and I heard you very clearly when you are saying this, that four portfolio committees, and this kind of arrangement took place also in the third portfolio committee. And I am sure it sends a lot of confusion into society as to what is happening within the taxi industry. And that kind of confusion itself, it continues to divide the taxi industry. So one way or the other, government needs to make a straight pronouncement as to what is taking place within the taxi industry. Who is the legitimate structure? And if a process needs to be reopened, I think also that kind of information should also go to the taxi industry. Thank you.
Okay, that will be followed up. Thank you.
Chairperson, I hope you finalize the political arrangement. Let me just get into the subject for the sake of time. I think there are three things that I want to really applaud the department for coming outright clear on that. The first one is that there is no pressure of 2010 in terms of the DRC process, as it is envisaged in the local government, whereby they say you get in here or you are left out because 2010 is around the corner. Because that's not a good basis for negotiation. But she's putting the record straight to say, not necessarily that DRC is not required, but necessarily the mechanism to provide the guarantees is to say, how are we going to take passengers from point A to point B? Another point which is of significance, again, is the fact that there is a right in place here. There are people with the right to operate, and they acknowledge the fact that we are within our right. There is a constitutional right for that operational right not just to be taken away from us, either as a result of DRC or as a result of any problem for that matter. Then the other point is that I wish the view of the National Department was the same view that was shared by the provincial and the local government, because there seems to be a different opinion in terms of this particular operation. In the local side, there is this, in the provincial, vis-a-vis the national. But by the clear articulation of the national department, or how I wish it was shared by also the other state of government, because we would not be in this situation whereby we even have to come up with this so-called now NJWG. The birth of NJWG was at the basis of the gap that existed between these years. From the government side and also from the industry side, because the interaction started at a lower level, and as a result, it emanated in this problem such that the NJWG was born. It wasn't just a notion that emanated out of a normal situation, but it was a daily born out of a certain situation. Now, with that basis in mind, I'm saying, as you have indicated, it is not the view of the text in us three that we want to say in one condition. No, we want to provide the best service because we want to keep our market share. So anything that says we need to do that, we will do that irrespective of the mode. Whether we take people by donkeys and Jews to heaven at that given moment, we migrated from donkeys to violence, from violence. So innovation and change is a business decision. You cannot continue to provide that which you want. First, you do your research and provide what the market is looking for. But equally so, as you do that growth, you don't do it at the expense of finishing your business. That is critical. So we can't grow business strategies which is not sustainable in terms of profitability. So that is why, therefore, if we have to use the trains or we have to use the buses, we need to check the profitability at the same time providing a better service. Therefore, the view that taxi industry resists change, taxi industry don't want BRT, or whatever statement that has been echoed, it is incorrect. What we are saying is that in the issue of BRT, we were never consulted. There was never a process that clearly stipulated how sustainable this problem is going to be, except to say, don't worry, no job loss and no loss of income, which is not scientific in terms of that. Because if you talk about 575 on phase 1A, there is a lot to be discussed there. 575 people being the directors of the same company, how are they going to generate the income that they've been generating in the past? So there are things that need to be looked in so that at the end of the day, the mode does not become the issue. But if the person is in a better situation than where he was vis-a-vis the mode that you are pushing on the table. But those discussions are the discussions that will begin to engage in this NGWG. But knowing for the fact that there is no duress, there is no negotiation in bad faith, but it's because we are doing this to address the issue of the community, of the commuter, who needs to be taken in a more different transport study than it has been happening in the past. Another interesting thing that we'll be looking into is the integration itself. The SG was talking about the integration of structures. So as the chairperson was, they were talking about that, the some integration of some TACO, NTA, whatever that was. And also, again, the trust in Kati is that we want to integrate the buses, the trains, this and the other, but the ownership is different and the systems are different. One is subsidized, one is not subsidized. If you're going to be a feeder system of this, how is it going to work? It's a question of getting those things so that at the end of the day, we know exactly how we want to roll this problem going forward. But what we want to bring forth to the members of the portfolio committee, the fact that there shouldn't be any crisis. We don't feel that there is a crisis. We feel that this is a situation that is beginning. I need to stress that one. Not that it's continuing. Because whatever that has been started is not right. And therefore, if we have to join, because that is very critical, if we have to join the government in their own program, then there will be problems. But if the government is negotiating with the industry on the way forward, then we should be having a solution. But if we are joining on something that is already in place, buses already bought, stations already built, all we have to do is to join in, then that will create a problem. We call that one malpractice. Because you begin to give the prescription and yet you've not in fact identified, diagnosed the situation. So we can't continue therefore in a tight bracket. But if everyone is coming to the table to say, this is the need of our country, this is what our passengers are doing, this is the result of the survey, that passengers need to do this in terms of that, obviously we embrace that with open. But all that we need people that are negotiating in good faith. We don't want people to create their personal opportunities in spite of the business. That is, this certainly does not even need a broad base there because we're there. We belong there. We can't have that problem in the space subsidy system. So the others were asking for the portfolio committee to monitor in progress is that we want to go there on a clean slate. We don't want to be roped in on something that is necessary. Because if you say this is your thing, but you bought the buses, then if you bought the buses, whose ownership are those buses are? Are you going to rent it over to us? But don't worry about that, because we won't get to know those things. That will become the function of this National Joint Working Group, to exactly understand the details as to how this program is going to be unfolded going forward. But again, we must say we will support the initiative that has been taken in this meeting, but let's not continue to do that malpractice again between ourselves and the government by talking about the committee without engaging them, even at the initial stage. We welcome that one, and we think it's important that from the onset we need to work together so that if having done all that, we bring all these buses and all the committees don't want that. They love Texas, except that if Texas could be better clean, better this, better that, because Texas owns the market, we take you next to your door, we drop you next to your operational place. So these are some of the things that when we have all the parties together at the same place, we should be able, therefore, to come to a conclusive solution. Training is one thing that is very critical. We don't need to train Texas people, we need to train South Africa in terms of behavior change. They say there is echo of life. What you get is what you give is what you get. Don't move too fast to point the finger onto the other side of town. You shout hate, it reflects back into your ear. You shout love, so it shouts. Unfortunately, the perception, as the chairperson earlier indicated, education can only be manifested through behavioral change. That is when you see that a person is an educator. It's not the amount of information that has went into his head, but what is it that was left in spite of that? You recall the number of years you spent in school, it's not all the accumulation that you've done, but what is it that came out as a result of that? Therefore, we are saying, for this thing to be clear and be identified, it's important that if within the household, within the community itself, we may begin to have this training going on. Because mind you, I always say this to people. People think that we graduate from drivers to owners. That's a perception out there. Now that is why when people meet me, sometimes they are amazed. Are you a taxi operator? Because they think I should be driving a taxi somewhere. But taxi is a business. And this business, I don't necessarily use my savings to run that business. In fact, as you speak here, you'll find that no, I've employed your son, or your son in law. But we are not able to capture that spirit. No one. This is part of us in the same community. We are much better together towards putting this stigma, because when something is stigmatized, it creates a perception that maybe is something wrong. I think these are brothers and sisters that you stay within the community. Now, that is why, again, when you go to integration, which is a good term, it's important that even Sanko and Santako do some integration. Also call upon my comrade Sanko in there, because this thing of putting so many lines within the community, when you're at home, you are Sanko, when you get into the bus stop, you are Sanko, when you go to the office, you this. It loses the sense of discussion. We are also members of the community, just providing the service there. Therefore, the sooner we work as a collective and identify these problems, we'll then begin to see things differently. Because, I mean, how can Sanko say to me, you must train your daughter? Oh, no, that's your son. What have you done at home? I have to deal with that. Mind you, we are specializing on that which is the problem of the community. That's where we employ most of our people. And there is a role that you are playing, but people don't seem to appreciate that instead of... So the training is in progress, but it will be done much better even if we can begin with it at the community where we are playing. Chairperson, I'm saying there is work in progress, but this thing is not going to be an easy thing. For instance, if you look into phase 1A, that thing depends solely on subsidy for its survival. because economies of scale would not allow it to sustain as a business. Because there is a period where there is a change of system that needs to take place. Whilst that is happening, but these are the details that I think as we begin to interact within the NGWG, we are going to map up those things. But the good thing is, we will work knowing that the vision of the department, we understand in terms of the legacy that needs to happen as a result of 2010. We equally understand not only the decision, but also the timing of such a decision, how critical that is. But as we begin to have this engagement, we're getting in there knowing very well that there is no duress, there is no pressure in terms of 2010. There is no duress, there is no pressure in terms of us losing the right to operate in those particular situations. But there is a vision that says life is progressive. As we move on in life, so should things progress. And Chairperson, I want to thank you for the opportunity given to us and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I would give the opportunity to the MCA.
Hi, thank you, Madam Chair, for allowing us to come into this house. I am not going to go into details as to why we are here. You have briefed Santaco as supervisor. I think there is a need for the taxi industry people to change. If I can comment on what my colleague has said earlier. NTA is here, NTA is in South Africa, and NTA will stay, and NTA is actually committed in serving the people of South Africa. There's no way that we can try and bypass one another. We have to work together. We have to do things together so that we do things the correct way. I want to support the president of Santaco without wasting the time of the committee on all the matters that he has said. Only have one question. There is a need to clarify what the department has said in regards to the ownership of the bus. Because we hear sometimes that people speak about tenders. How can you then tender if you own the business? So there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. So I'll leave it there. I hope Mr. Mata isn't going to say anything. But I support what the president has said, I think.
Thank you very much. Now give an opportunity to Franco.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am a member of the portfolio committee. The taxi industry and my interest groups. Chairperson, taking caution from what the DG has said, that not everything is going to be discussed in this portfolio committee, because other things are being discussed as a working group. A working group, therefore, that we would like to be part of. Let me say that, that as Sanko, we were wondering
why is it taking so long that a process that was started some time ago as members of communities were not part of? And we must thank you that you have invited us to come and be part of this festival process. We are very grateful that consultation is going to improve insofar as this process is concerned, because as recipients of this service, we support an improved public transport system. We will not, therefore, dwell much in elaborating what it means to the society, what public transport system means to the society, but one needs to mention the fact that it will reduce the congestion we see in our city, because the private car will not be on the road. You won't see a single person driving to town alone in a car. So, shortly, we hope that the portfolio committee and the department will be the portfolio committee and the department will be starting now to pull together all the loose ends related to this process, so that every interest party should be involved in the process leading to the completion of this system. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think this brings us to what's the conclusion of our meeting. What we are getting in this meeting is that there is commitment from all parties. There is no one who doesn't see a need for the transformation and the implementation of the BRT. There is, however, a realization that the consultation process is not going to be as inclusive as required to be. There is therefore a commitment that those that are represented here and those that have already joined back from the community side are wanting to be part of the National Joint Working Group, so that they can represent the interests and the views of the commuters. The chemical industry on the other side is saying we are also committed. There is, however, an observation that there is a need for us to look at the political restructuring of this system. And for me, I have worked I have an extensive experience in the conflict management. Sometimes a democratic process gets aborted when what people were hoping to achieve through a democratic process has not been realized. And maybe in the process of looking at how the taxi industry is structured, we would also need to go deep into that. Some people are very much afraid of getting into the root causes of the problem and choose to deal with the indicators of the problem. But those of us who are trained in conflict management and conflict resolution choose to take a more difficult route of getting to the root causes rather than dealing with the indicators. And I think that at a particular time, there will be a need for engaging
whether at the civil society, whether at the civil society level and government level, and then the chapter industry, to a root cause of different interpretations of the democratic process that led to the unification of the taxi industry, because we would want to have a unified structure. But let us look at what it is that we have achieved in this meeting. We have all agreed that the consultation process needed to be reviewed, and this is how it is being reviewed. The government proposed to the taxi industry that there be an establishment of a national joint working group. The civil society and the portfolio committee are saying that the representation of the joint working group, if it only includes the government and the taxi industry, would still cause a problem. And we are therefore saying that it should include the civil society. And the response from the BG is that that process has already started. They have consulted with the labor, and they are in a process of consulting with the civil society, which will include SANCO and SACO. But what has also been proposed in this meeting is the inclusion of the organization that represents people with disabilities. And I don't think there would be a transmission if they were involved in that. I think we haven't done justice on the issues that have been taking place. And I think we need to set aside a separate meeting that would focus specifically on our state of readiness for 2010, particularly on issues of transportation, and also begin to unpack the different roles and responsibilities related to the road infrastructure development, the airport, and the physical transportation. Now, how do we move people from point A to point B, and who's responsible for what role and where they are? I think we also agree on the National Joint Working Group as the structure that would process all the issues that would be raised by the taxi industry, issues that would be raised by the government, and issues that would be raised by the civil society. I think the National Working Group will also have to find a way of reporting back the progress that they are making. We know that they are not accountable to us, department is, but they are also having the responsibility of seeing this process through, so that we ensure that the public out there is satisfied with the progress that is being made. The issue of the representation of the four cities. In my interaction with the BG, she said that the four cities are represented in the body, but they were not here during the presentation, and there has been an interest coming from the members of the portfolio committee for those four cities to share their experiences and the progress that they are making in as far as the BRT and the transformation of the public transport in this country is concerned. And I think we agreed to resolve a movement that we would be inviting them as a follow-up to this meeting, so that we are able to interact with them and satisfy ourselves and Parliament and the public out there, that the decision is in order. There is no discourse in what is said by the department at national level and then what is done
at the local government level in as far as the issue of BRC is concerned. We have also looked at the National Household Travel Survey. We realize that most of the issues that are raised there relate to the public and the community. We have also observed that the intergovernmental relations framework is one aspect that relates to the negative aspects highlighted in the National Household Travel Standard. Talks about, for me, the fact that in the first line, that 54% of households take public transport to shop, 39% use it to get to the medical service, 41% use it to get to the post office, 56% use it to get to the welfare office, 48% use it to get to the police station, and 47% use it to get to the municipal office. That, to me, relates a problem that is beyond transport transformation in this country. It is a problem that relates to human patterns in this country. During the apartheid era, public facilities were located away from the residential area of the people. And as part of the solution to that, we will need to involve the Department for Human Settlement and the Department for Cooperative Government and Traditional Affairs. Mainly because it is in arriving at a common understanding of what it is that we are dealing with when we are addressing issues of the public transport. If the shops were closer to where the people are, we wouldn't be dealing with this problem. So let us then, as this committee, facilitate a situation where there is integrated development approach in doing things. The other issue that is of observation to me from the National Household Travel Survey is that the survey talks about the negative things only about the sector industry. I am sitting here. I was born in Harding in the rural area. Throughout my life, I've used the taxi as a mode of transport. Until such time, I was able to buy my first car. That then to me says, there are positive things that have been done by the taxi industry in this country. That needs to be recognized. It is this very same taxi industry that is negatively portrayed in this national household travel service that provided transport to poor communities that were neglected by their own government. If they did not provide the transport, it meant that the poor communities in the rural areas and the townships were expected to walk to their places of work. They were expected to walk to all these facilities that they built away from them. That was the expectation from the apartheid government, that we locate these people away from the facilities and we also don't provide transport for them to get to those facilities. And the taxi industry, without any government support, took it upon themselves that they were going to provide that service. When are we going to hear about that as a positive contribution to this country? This is the same taxi industry that has contributed to the sustainability of the commercial industry in this country. It brings workers,
to their weapons. We buy cars from the car manufacturer with their milkshake. We buy the tires from the tire manufacturing company that they are not part of, and distributors that they are not shareholders. We buy petrol on a daily basis from the service, the petrol service stations that are not owned by them. We pay the insurance fees to the insurance companies that they are not shareholders of. We service their cars from the service, car service centers that are not owned by them. We are sitting with the cooperative development that are in that. We are sitting with a cooperative bank at 2007 that are in that. We have a very strong, broad-based black economic empowerment structure in this country in the form of the taxi industry that is ready for development and taken to the next level of their development. So again, to the department, we are saying, provide leadership that would result in the taxi industry realizing economic potential. Mobilize other relevant departments and other relevant stakeholders to ensure that the taxi industry becomes a fully-fledged transportation business that benefits from the entire value chain, so that we can see in this country the transformation of the economy and the development of the second economy. That is the observation that the Portfolio Committee will be making to say, okay, be active, but be active within the context of transforming the second economy in this country and implementing the broad-based black economic empowerment. And we would also be making our own contributions based on our own experiences of development. The last issue is the issue of a government. The government alone cannot transform public transport. It can't. It has the resources, it has the law, it has everything. But the most relevant and effective approach for any development to happen anywhere in the world is the approach of doing with the people, not for the people. If the government would decide to transform and then say, we are going to transform the taxi industry without the taxi industry, and then we are going to transform the public transport that is used by the public without the public, the government would not succeed. Because people that are affected by them, but by that process would resist change. The best way of arriving at a solution is to have them part of their own development, as part of their own development. Transform with them, develop them, together with them, do with the people, not for the people. And that is what we would urge the department to do and to continue doing. We are pleased by the progress that has been made. We appreciate what the minister is doing, because he is sticking to what he presented during his budget vote speech. And we appreciate the line that the department is taking. And so we are hoping that the next time we meet, we will be getting a report on the progress that has been made in as far as the civil society consultation and open them in international joint working group. Explaining the tension that exists and explain exactly how the taxi industry is structured. And then report on the issues that have been raised by these different parties in the National Joint Working Group
and how those issues are being resolved. And I think that that is what we will be looking forward to. Now, I take this opportunity to thank all the participants and say it has been a wonderful meeting. It has shown us where we are heading to and what problems we are dealing with, and also the process that we shall be following. I now close this matter. Can we then move to the next two items? The first item that of considering the Can we then move on item number 2? Minutes. There is a move for the adoption of the minutes. Okay. Consideration of the token and adoption of such. Same. We have both a meeting and a workshop. Strategic. Yeah. Hold it. We had a committee meeting between 9 and 11, then from 11 we had a strategic workshop for the committee. Approved by the chair of house. We will adjust according to that information when we receive it. Thank you. Thank you for the meeting. Thank you.